It's 99.1 PLR. I'm John Kamal, and I am sitting with drummer, songwriter, producer, author of the book Remain in Love, the legendary Chris France. Chris, thanks for being here, man.
It's a great pleasure, John. I love PLR.
Well, we love you. Man, you're a Connecticut guy. You've been a big part of the, you know, Connecticut music scene, especially down in Bridgeport where I live. I'm excited to talk to you. I think the only time we might have met once before at like Bryak on Fairfield Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
And I had certainly had too much to drink that night. So I'm glad we can have this conversation this way.
Me too. They have good lobster there.
Excellent raw bar in general.
Yeah.
Excellent raw bar in general.
Yeah.
But so part of the reason that we're talking today is the second annual Verso Fest is coming to Westport this Thursday, Westport Library. It's going to be March 30th through April 2nd. And the keynote speaker, the keynote, conversation is going to be you and producer Steve Lillywhite. So tell me about Verso Fest. What is it, your involvement with it, and what are you looking forward to? Tell me all things Verso Fest.
Okay. Well, Verso Fest takes place at the Westport Library in Westport, Connecticut. And this is the second year they've done it. I started curating these nights they would have with emerging artists, young talent from our area.
Yeah.
And it gradually grew into a bigger thing, which is now sort of like a, I guess you could call it a mini South by Southwest. It's a arts, music, and media festival. And I should preface this whole thing by saying at the Westport Library, they've built in recent years not only a recording studio and a podcast studio, which are very good studios, really, you know, well made and with good gear and well maintained, but also they have a rather amazing performance area with stage, really good sound system. I mean, top-notch sound system.
Yeah.
And a large digital screen behind the stage so that bands or artists or authors or whoever can use the screen as a tool to enhance the performance, make it more exciting. And this is only the second year they've done Verso Fest. They're going to be kicking it off on Thursday night with a band called Sunflower Bean. Sunflower Bean have been featured as very important new artists in Rolling Stone magazine, and they've gotten very serious critical acclaim overseas in Europe and the UK.
Yeah.
So we're very excited to have them. They come from Brooklyn, but they're going to be starting off the show on Thursday night. The thing I'm doing with Steve Lillywhite is on Saturday at noon, and then I'll also be speaking with Richard Butler of the Psychedelic Furs that same evening, Saturday at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
But that event is sold out. It sold out in like 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
It's something called the Malloy Award. A woman named Susan Malloy donated a certain amount of money to give each year to outstanding artists. And I mean, Salman Rushdie was one.
Wow.
It's a top-notch thing. And Richard Butler's, many people are not aware, but Richard Butler is a really fine painter, does really interesting figurative painting. So he's getting the award for his paintings. It's just coincidentally, he's also a great singer in a great band.
Sure. Oh my gosh, that's cool. So it's the Thursday and Friday, it's just music, correct? It's just the evening portion is just going to be music.
Well,
and then the full convention style be Saturday, Sunday.
That, I should have had my little schedule in front of me here.
That's okay.
But yes, they're panelists and there are, you know, various performances. I know my one of my sons is on a panel with Dave Schneider from the Zambonis. Do you know the Zambonis?
I know Dave. Yeah, we actually had some barbecue not too long ago. I love the Zambonis.
And this panel is going to be dealing with the resurgence of vinyl and the interest many people have in collecting and listening to vinyl records again. So they're going to be talking about that along with some other vinyl collectors in the area. There's a photography panel where they're going to have Lynn Goldsmith and quite a few other real top-notch rock photographers. They're going to be speaking and showing their work on this big screen that's behind. Yeah. So it'll be really fun to watch. There's a panel on fashion. How rock and roll has affected fashion over the years. And I know that one of the panelists is the great Vivian Goldman, who used to, when Talking Heads first went to England, she was one of the first people to interview us. Now she's in New York and teaching at NYU. So she's,
oh, wow.
She's going to be on one of the panels about fashion.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So this is, I mean, this is a full circle thing for you.
It's a really good thing for our community. And it, you know, it's interesting. It's not just some snoozy stuff. It's like actually interesting.
Well, speaking of interesting, I mean, this keynote conversation that I mentioned earlier, it's between you and Steve Lillywhite, who, if I like, you know, if you're a fan of rock music and you don't know that name, this is the guy who produced the Rolling Stones, U2, Dave Matthews, the Talking Heads.
Yes.
The album Naked, if I'm correct. Right.
Yes. Our last album.
Right. And I mean, this is a legendary guy. And without giving away the conversation that you guys will have, tell me about working with him. What makes him a great producer? How do you become a producer for all of these legendary acts? What's it like working with him in the studio?
Well, he's great to work with. One,
like he would have to be, right?
Yeah. One thing that separates Steve from a lot of other producers is he has a wonderful sense of humor.
Nice.
some producers are kind of serious, you know. I'm not saying that Steve isn't serious when he's in the studio, but there are a lot of laughs and everybody has a good time. He keeps things moving so you don't get bogged down. And if there's some difficulty, you know, one of a great producer, one of his jobs is to solve problems. And Steve is really good at that, musical problems.
Sure. Can you think of an example of a problem that you had, like recording with him, that he just had an immediate solution for?
Yes. For example, we recorded our album in Paris, and so many funny things happened. One time we were using, in addition to our core band, you know, David, Tina, Jerry, and myself, we brought in the great Wally Badaru, who had played with Grace Jones and had played with us on Burning Down the House. He did that great keyboard solo in Burning Down the House. Wally played on a number of the songs with us, but he also introduced us to other African musicians. You know, Paris is like a center for African music. A lot of the African countries are French speaking, and therefore these musicians would come to Paris and record and live. And so one day we were waiting for this great guitarist to show up that Wally had recommended to us. And a guy came in and we said, he was an African guy, and we said, "Are you the guitarist?" And he said, "Yes, I play guitar." And he said, "Oh, great." He said, "But I don't have my guitar with me."
That's problematic.
He said, "Okay, how about you use one of our guitars. And he said, fine, I'll use one of your guitars. And so we sat him down, we played him the track over the headphones, and he was plugged in, ready to play. And he started to play, and it wasn't really that good. Well, long story short, it turned out that he was a FedEx delivery man who happened to walk in at the time this other guitarist was supposed. So the other guitarist walks in the middle of this with his guitar.
Yeah.
And he says, out of respect, I don't want to interfere with this guy who's already, you know.
He thought he was getting fired. He was like, oh, God, they found another guy. Yeah. I was 5 minutes late to the session. I shouldn't have been 5 minutes late to the session.
Right. So Steve jumped in and solved the situation very diplomatically. And, when you're working with people from different cultures, you have to be flexible.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they have a different way, a different viewpoint.
The FedEx guy, I love it. Was like, did you guys keep any of his stuff or was it just all trash?
No, he actually said, you know, this isn't working out. I think you should record just me and then have the band play along with me.
And you know what? He was confident. He was taking his shot. He was taking his shot at the big time.
Yeah.
You got to respect that. Oh, that's hysterical. Yeah. I had a feeling you were leading up to like he was just like, you know, like maybe a PA or somebody like that. But the FedEx guy is pretty good.
Yeah.
So there was, I mean, you know, speaking of the Talking Heads, you guys had a reunion recently. It was you, Jerry, and Tina, your wife, obviously, at College Street Music Hall in New Haven. Jerry had his show with Adrian Belew.
Yeah.
Is there, and I'm like not doing my job if I don't ask this question, is there any chance of a reunion, or even more so, would you guys all go on tour together without David? Maybe not even playing those songs, but still.
I don't think there's going to be a reunion with all four Talking Heads, unfortunately. Right. I wish there were. It would be a loads of fun to do, but I don't think it's going to happen for various reasons. I think we all know what the main reason is, but anyway, be that as it may, I would love to play with Jerry and to do more things in the future, and I think we will. Whether it'll be actual touring or not, I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. We did a thing in the in what was it 1996. We did an album called The Heads, which was Tina and Jerry and myself with a different singer on each song.
Yeah.
A different lead singer, and I thought it was really good, you know, but we got a lot of backlash about it. Like, how dare they make a record without David Byrne and call it The Heads?
Come on.
Well, it was ridiculous. We did the tour with a singer named Jeanette Napolitano, and it did okay, but you know, once you've played those songs and been in movies like Stop Making Sense and played these, you know, really prestigious concerts and things.
Yeah.
It's kind of a drag to not get the respect that you think you deserve.
Right.
So will we do a, I mean, times have changed. There's a whole new generation out there who's loving Talking Heads. So who knows? Maybe we can do something with Jerry in the future.
Right. Well,
I will tell you this, the film Stop Making Sense is being re-released in the coming year by A24, the company A24, which just swept the Academy Awards with
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. I see now I feel like I didn't do my research properly. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's going to come out, and I'm told that they're going to try to get it into IMAX theaters because it's going to be mixed in Dolby Atmos, you know, this new new spatial sound. So,
oh, wow.
So they're working on that right now, in fact.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's huge news. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me know about that. I had no idea.
So it's not like everything is dead in the world of Talking Heads. Things are still popping.
Well, and I mean, you guys are such a huge presence, a huge influence on the on like the jam band scene now, too, which is such a huge part of Connecticut music. So much so that actually before I let you go, I did want to bring this up very quickly because I saw this comment you left on a Phish forum about how and if you're just listening to the audio of this, you know, you can go check this out on our Instagram page. But let me get the exact wording of this is Chris France said on a Phish column, on a Phish Facebook post, "I've been around the world, but Trey has the worst BO I've ever smelled in my life." Meaning, of course, Trey Anastasio, lead guitar player from Phish. This was a gem, actually. And what I wanted to know was describe Trey's smell to me. And even more importantly, who has the second worst BO of anyone you've ever been on tour with?
Well, what happened was they had this thing called, you know, the jam bands had this thing called the Jammies, the Jammy Awards, mm-hmm. for the best jam bands and the best, you know, collaborations and things like that. And we played, Tom Tom Club performed. It was at the old ballroom in New York, Roseland, which sadly no longer exists. But we played at the Jammy Awards a couple, maybe three times. But anyway, one year I had to present an award along with Trey. And I had not spent a lot of time with Trey. You know, I knew about him, of course, and we had met, but I'd not spent a lot of time with him. And when we got up to the podium, Trey raised his arms above his head, you know, like pumping his fists. And I gotta tell you, it was practically unbearable.
Oh my gosh.
But I kept my cool. You know, I didn't say anything because we had microphones in front of us and video cameras.
Of course. had he just played or something like that? Was there like, was he sweaty from like, had he just run a marathon or was this just?
I think it was in a bad period in his life where maybe he wasn't taking care of himself the way he should have done. And I understand that that's no longer a problem, but,
Well, all right. Then I guess we got to cut him some slack. That's fair. That's fair.
But, it was bad, I could tell you that. Hey, Poppy, that's my beagle in the background.
We got a guest star. I love it. I love it. And you were going to say second worst BO that you've ever toured with or just seen.
Well, John Popper.
Shout out Blues Traveler, John Popper. John Popper at number two. Notice that, by the way, they're both members of the jam band scene, as you would expect.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Thank you for playing along with that, Chris. You know, VersoFest coming up this coming weekend, starting Thursday. VersoFest at the Westport Library, March 30th through April 2nd. Saturday, Chris France is going to be leading a conversation with producer Steve Lillywhite. And you were nice enough to give me a little sneak peek of all of that today. I've kept you for too long already, but you know, just wanted to say thank you for being on here, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
It's a great pleasure, John. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
And maybe I'll see you at VersoFest. You should come.
I would actually love that. I think you can expect to see me this coming weekend. Thanks again, man.
Fabulous.